A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of the congregation, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or who are doing so after a long while. I bring you greetings from my family. They are not able to be in church this morning. We've been away to Aberfoyle for a one-week holiday. It was very, very refreshing, but also tiring, so they are resting at home. Tomorrow we begin with our holiday club, and of course it's mostly for young families, young children, but we also encourage any who may want to attend. Please, you are very welcome tomorrow from 9 a.m. through the week. I now invite Jane to bring our call to worship to us.
Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 92, verses 1 to 8, and then from verses 12 to 15. Psalm 92, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord, how profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know, fools do not understand, that through the wicked spring up like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." We will now sing hymn 111, "Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God Almighty."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the source and you are the sure foundation of our faith. And when our faith is weak, it is because we are not resting our hearts upon you, but trying to go it alone, or dependent on flimsy grounds. Forgive us when we wander from your paths and find ourselves lost and troubled or doing foolish things. Keep us safe in your love, and so let our faith be sure and steadfast, whatever we may have to face in life. Help us to be more understanding and forgiving of others, as we should if we follow your ways. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, for your willingness to forgive and to let us try again to be your people. Here in our church today, strengthen our faith that we might go out from here restored and ready to help others in their needs. We ask it in your name, and further pray now together in your words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I don't seem to see any children in church. Or are there some? Just one. So we will sing Jesus Bid Us Shine, and we will just skip that whole part and move to the anthem. So, Jesus Bids Us Shine, Junior Praise 128 is our next hymn.
The Old Testament reading today is taken from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. A troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. The New Testament reading is taken from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault is what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. May God add his blessings to these words from his holy word. And we sing the next hymn, Junior Praise 137, Jesus is Lord, Creation's Voice Proclaim It.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We thank you, dear Father, that it has pleased you to have us before you this morning in worship. As we speak and listen to your word, O Father, open our hearts and inspire us so that we might live better lives through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Controlling the tongue. Or maybe we would like to ask the question, do you have control over your tongue? During World War II, the United States government was concerned that several German spies were operating in America. They were sending back information to Germany regarding Allied warplanes and specific troop and ship movements. To keep them from impacting the war effort, the Office of War Information launched a national campaign around the slogan, "Loose lips sink ships." Loose lips sink ships. It was a solemn warning to people not to repeat information that might be damaging or even deadly if it fell into the wrong hands. Because words are so powerful that they can kill and destroy, or heal and mend brokenness as well. The Apostle James tells us that the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And so the Word of God warns us of the dangers of gossip or talking carelessly, because this also has a way of dividing the body of Christ. Gossip is even able to separate the closest of friends. There is no wonder then that one of the seven sins on the list of abominations to God is a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. The Apostle James urges us to control our tongue so we will avoid judgment from God, because in talking too much, we are likely to make many mistakes that might lead us and others into trouble. Verse 2 of our text says, "We all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way." So tongue control is an index of self-control. The Bible condemns the sin of speech quite clearly. According to Genesis 3:12, the first actual sin following the fall was a sin of speech. The serpent came to the woman and said, "Well, there is no problem in eating this fruit. Eat it. Instead, you'll be happier." And that was the beginning of the fall. When the Apostle Paul wanted to show that the world is unrighteous and lacks understanding or concern to do good, he addressed the Romans in hard facts by stating as follows: "Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness." Romans 3:13 to 14. And the prophet Isaiah expressed his inability to join the heavenly chorus of adoration and his sense of personal doom by admitting that, "I am a man of unclean lips." But Peter commands anyone who would love life and see good days to keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking guile. 1 Peter 3:10. I think, dear brothers and sisters, that we rarely stand alongside Genesis and Paul in finding in our speech or what we say the primary evidence of our fallen state and most of the problems that we face in our world. We do not share Isaiah's sense that there is a sin which in a special way separates us from God and brings us condemnation. Nor has anyone ever told us so plainly that a controlled tongue is the key to blessings, as Peter does and as James teaches us in our text this morning. Listen again how James makes the contrast between, or the contrast concerning the bane and blessing of the tongue. Among all parts of the body, quote, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, sin remains our universal experience, and it takes all sorts of forms. But among them, sins of speech are prominent. Think of the hasty word that would come out of our mouths, the untruthful statement, the sly suggestion, the harmful gossip, and impurity. I think this is a very beautiful text with so much to learn from concerning the tongue. And to understand this passage, we need to consider that the tongue is so much more than what we say out loud. In fact, actual speech is probably only a small percentage of the use of the tongue. We cannot think without formulating thoughts in words. We cannot plan without describing to ourselves step by step what we intend to do. We cannot imagine without painting a word picture before our inward eyes. We cannot write a letter or a book without talking it through our minds onto the paper. We cannot resent without fueling the fires of resentment in words addressed to ourselves. We cannot even feel sorry for ourselves without listening to the self-pitying voice which tells us how bad we are. If our tongues were so well under control that it refused to formulate the words of self-pity, the images of lustfulness, the thoughts of anger and resentment, then these things would be cut down before they had a chance even to leave. It is in this way that if anyone makes no mistake in what they say, they are perfect people, says James. The control of the tongue is more than evidence of spiritual maturity. It is the means to it. In this passage, the Apostle James examines the tongue, its place among our bodily faculties, the dangers it threatens, the fearful task of controlling such a restrictive beast. So how do we tame or control our tongues for the good of all? We can do so in simple ways. The way we speak inwardly about our brother or our sister or friend. The way we speak to somebody else about a brother or sister or somebody we know, and the way we speak to other people, and interpret what goes on in the church and in the world. All that would mean a new respect for the image of God seen in the members of his family, the body of Christ. It has been well said that we have two ears and one mouth, that we may listen the more and talk the less. But too often we talk more than we listen. And James tells us that words are powerful, and we must be careful how we use our tongue and how we speak. I finish with this short and anonymous poem entitled "The Power of Words." A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless. May the words that come out from our mouths heal, bless, and lessen the burdens of others. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you've given us tongues that we may use them to speak and to heal. We pray for times when we've not used our tongues rightly. Help us now that we know, O Father, that our tongues can bring blessing and healing to others, that we may use them rightly to the honor of your most holy name. Amen. Sing again, CH 4556, "I Need Thee Every Hour."
Let us now dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we bring to you our offerings. Be they few or many, we give them to honour and thank you for your love for each of us. May these offerings be used to build and maintain your kingdom here on earth. Amen. And let us now join in prayer for ourselves and others. Let us pray. Loving God, we give thanks that we are called into your service. May we be faithful and obedient to that calling. Lord God, you have created this beautiful world for us, a beautiful world marred by greed, hatred, intolerance, and lack of respect for humanity and the earth. Help us to care for our world and each other, like our Lord Jesus taught us. Only by being more like him will our world become the place you envisage for us. Lord, we continue to pray for those suffering in conflict. We pray that this can be resolved and we can work towards a peaceful and loving world. Lord God, we pray for all children and young people everywhere. The future of our world will one day be in their hands. In particular, we pray for the holiday club taking place tomorrow. We ask for protection for every child that comes through the door. May they find a warm welcome and feel safe in this sanctuary. Let them be touched by your Holy Spirit as they have fun, make new friends, and hopefully start their walk with Jesus. We pray for all the leaders and helpers. Help them maintain their stamina and enthusiasm throughout the week and set a Christian example. For all those who are suffering at this moment, be it through illness, bereavement, financial worries, or at a point in their lives when they are spiritually lost, we pray they know your love and are comforted knowing you listen to their prayers and our prayers on their behalf. We know that prayer can be answered, but not often the way we expect. You are a loving God and know what is best for us. May your Holy Spirit touch all those who seek you, now and always. Amen.
If you are able, please, can you rise so that together we affirm our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. In Christ alone, our final hymn.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.